Some time ago, an attractive young mother was thrilled to learn that she had inherited $2 million. But on the same day, she also learned that she had only a year to live. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about wills and testaments. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Today I'm going to continue our subject of law and grace, and especially in relation to the two covenants of the Bible. In our last broadcast, we noted that this is a greatly misunderstood doctrine of both Old and New Testaments. Probably the greatest distortion of truth has resulted from the idea that the Ten Commandment law was the Old Covenant, and that it has now been done away with. Friends, this just simply isn't true. The facts are that the Old Covenant was an agreement between God and His people regarding the keeping of the Ten Commandments. You read that very specifically in the Bible. Now here's a proof that the law was not the Old Covenant. According to the 8th chapter of Hebrews, the Old Covenant waxed old and vanished away. It also had poor promises in it, and it was described as faulty. Now, who can believe that this describes the Ten Commandments, friends? Nowhere are they called faulty. In fact, the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Neither has anybody ever been able to point out a poor promise in the Decalogue. And Paul clearly declares that the Ten Commandment law is established by faith. It has not vanished away in any sense of the word at all. So briefly stated then, the Old Covenant was the agreement of the people at Mount Sinai to keep the law of God in their own strength and through their own efforts. Now that agreement was faulty because those poor promises of the people were almost immediately broken, rupturing the covenant. In Hebrews 8, God said He would make a new covenant based on better promises. And then He proceeded to make the promises which formed the basis of that new agreement. Those promises involved Christ living in the heart, regenerating and empowering the individual to obey the Ten Commandments through love. Now we shall go on to consider another phase of the two covenants that's often been misunderstood. That is, the ordinances or ceremonies connected with the covenants. These were added because of sin. In Hebrews 9, verses 1 and 9 and 10, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation." All right, you see, friends, the Bible is perfectly plain on the fact that the ceremonies of the Old Covenant would remain in force only until the time of Reformation, when Jesus died. Other passages make it plain that the time of Reformation spoken of here was a time when the New Covenant was ratified. And so we read in Colossians 2:14-17, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ." Now notice something. What does Paul say was blotted out at the cross? Those things which were a shadow of things to come. The types and symbols which pointed forward to Christ, the Lamb of God. This included the offering of lambs, the meat offerings, the drink offerings that were a part of the ordinance system, but it was not the Ten Commandments. There's not even a suggestion in the passage that any of the Ten Commandments were blotted out of the cross. The Sabbath days and holy days affected were only those six yearly feast Sabbaths. And you read about those in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. The yearly feast Sabbath of the Passover, the yearly feast Sabbath of unleavened bread, the yearly feast Sabbath of Pentecost, the yearly feast Sabbath of the trumpets, the yearly feast Sabbath of the Day of Atonement, and the yearly feast Sabbath of Tabernacles. Now those, friends, with their meat and drink offerings were the ones which are designated in the New Testament as shadows of things to come. The Sabbath of the Ten Commandments is not a type or a shadow. It was given to man in the Garden of Eden before Adam sinned, before there were any types or shadows at all. You see, the types and shadows were added after man sinned and pointed forward to the deliverance from sin. The things that were blotted out, the Bible says, were against us. Now, the Ten Commandments were given for our good, to tell us what sin is. They're not against a Christian at all. One of the ordinances of the Old Covenant was circumcision. But under the New Covenant, we read this, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but obedience to God's commandments is everything. 1 Corinthians 7:19. Now that word obedience is to some people a most hated word. They want to tell you what God has to say about grace and forgiveness, but never do they reveal that God has quite a bit to say about obedience as well. Obedience, of course, is not the same as justification. It's not even the means of justification, but it is an evidence of justification. To get a full picture of the subject, let's read what Paul has to say. He explains it in Romans 8, 3 and 4, that it is the very purpose of the new covenant to bring us into harmony with God's law. Now, friends, do you see why the keeping of the commandments of God is everything under the new covenant? Paul also says in Romans that we know God's will as we are instructed out of the law. Romans 2:18, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. So, the man who wants to do away with the Ten Commandments doesn't even want to know God's will, because that's what the commandments contain. But remember, the law never saves. Only the grace of Jesus saves. The purpose of the law is to tell us right from wrong, to reveal God's will to us. For what the law could not do, and I'm reading now from Romans 8, 3 and 4, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, friends, if you truly have this new covenant experience, the righteousness of the law, which includes honoring the entire Ten Commandments, will be seen in your life. It's Christ living out a life of obedience to his Father's commandments in you. If you haven't got this experience at this moment, won't you surrender to the control of God's Spirit without any further delay? Let the master potter mold you and make you after his will. He can only do this as you surrender fully to his will, as you're waiting, yielded, and still. This is the new covenant experience. Now, so far you've clearly seen that both the old covenant and the new covenant were made concerning God's Ten Commandment law. The old covenant also included certain rites and ceremonies which were declared to be only temporary. These ceremonies, and not the Ten Commandments, were blotted out at the cross. The New Testament reveals three new ordinances which were added under the New Covenant in the place of those ceremonies that came to an end at the cross. The new ordinances are these: the Lord's Supper, baptism, and the ordinance of humility, or the foot washing. Now, all three of these ordinances were instituted before Christ's death. The Bible clearly explains that is the only way they could get into the new covenant. They must be instituted before his death. Why? Because of Hebrews 9, 16 and 17. For where a testament is, there must also a necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And the word testator is exactly the same as covenant. Or the word testament is the same as a covenant. Now, nobody would have the right to have added baptism or the Lord's Supper or to the new covenant after Jesus died. He must include it in his will before his death. The same is true of our weekly day of rest. If Jesus had any intention of ordaining a new day of rest for the new covenant, this would have to have been done before his death in order to be valid. Inspiration sets forth this principle so clearly that none needs to misunderstand it. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Galatians 3:15. Now, if it were not for this provision, men would be forever tampering with the will of Christ. Surely, as it is, men have tried to make changes to His will. But the Bible says no. All that was settled and recorded before the Savior's death. It's impossible, according to the Bible, for Sunday to be the Sabbath of the New Covenant because it came 3 days too late, 3 days after Christ's will was sealed and ratified by His death. Now, sometimes people have asked why Christ instituted the Lord's Supper before His body was actually broken. Jesus told them the reason in Matthew 26:28. He said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament," or New Covenant, "which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now notice that term, New Testament, or New Covenant, friends. Jesus had to introduce the Lord's Supper before He died in order to get it under the provisions of the New Covenant. After the Testament was confirmed by His death, nothing could be added to it, nothing taken away. No man's will can be tampered with after His death. Christ wanted the bread and wine to be in the New Covenant. Also the ordinance of humility, or foot washing. But listen, Sunday keeping came in much later, long after the resurrection, and it could not possibly have been added to the New Covenant, which had been closed and ratified by the shedding of Christ's blood on Friday. One fine Christian lady said, "I keep Sunday because that's the day Jesus finished it all." But friends, it doesn't say that in the Bible. It says in John 19:30, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, 'It is finished,' and He bowed His head and gave up the ghost." Well, the Bible says it was finished on Friday, the day of the crucifixion, not on Sunday, the day of the resurrection. You see, the burden of Jesus' heart was the sins of the world He must die for. The agony that came to His heart in Gethsemane and on Calvary's cross was from the sins of the world. Jesus did not concern Himself with the resurrection morning. He knew He had power to lay His life down and to take it up again. He said that in John 10:17, "I lay down my life that I might take it again." So the resurrection morning didn't bother Jesus. What bothered Him most was dying for the sins of the world, and that was finished on Friday. After that, He knew He'd be resurrected and ascend to heaven and sit on the right hand of the Father and then intercede for our sins, and also come again for the redeemed. And if I were to choose another Sabbath, I'd probably choose Friday, the day Jesus died for my sins. But no, I have no right to be choosing Sabbaths at all. God already has given us a perfect Sabbath. It was in the world before sin was. And God had no reason to change His perfect Sabbath of the fourth commandment, which says, "The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." Exodus 20:8. And that day, of course, is Saturday. After His death, Christ's followers continued keeping that Sabbath day according to the commandments. Isn't that amazing and wonderful, friends, that the Bible is so clear on this subject of Christ's will? Well, that concludes our series on the study of the two covenants, friends, but I wish you would write for my little book entitled Why the Old Covenant Failed. It contains the material contained in these two messages. It's a little book entitled Why the Old Covenant Failed. By the way, be sure to give the call letters of the station when you write. And if you include a gift for the broadcast, you'll be placed on our regular list to receive the book of the month, month by month. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.